We've been on a study of the prophet Jonah over the last several weeks, and prophet Jonah, don't know if anybody here has ever read the prophet Jonah. It's a short book. It's four chapters long. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you highly to read the prophet Jonah. It's packed with a message for us. There's so many applications in the book of Jonah. And last week we spoke on obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings blessings. And I just kind of want to briefly re-summarize or recap last week's message. God had given Jonah in Jonah chapter 1 a mandate, a command to bring repentance, the message of repentance to Nineveh. And so Jonah decides to do his own thing and go in the opposite direction. He decides to go to Tarshish. So basically, Jonah disobeyed. As a result of Jonah's disobedience, a storm arose on the ocean. And secondly, as a result of his disobedience, God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Some call it a whale. So Jonah had some negative consequences in his life as a result of his disobedience to God. Would you agree?
Yes.
You can read it in Jonah chapters 1 and 2 now. In Jonah chapter 3, God spoke to Jonah a second time because we serve the God of a second chance. We serve the God of another chance. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and bring the message of repentance to it. And this time, when God spoke to Jonah the second time in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Jonah decided to obey God. He decided to do God's thing instead of his own thing. He obeyed God, and as a result of Jonah's obedience in Jonah chapter 3, it brought blessings. And so last week's message was obedience brings blessings. Now, how was Jonah blessed as a result of obeying God in Jonah chapter 3? How was Jonah blessed as a result of his obedience in Jonah chapter 3? How was he blessed? He was blessed in the sense that he probably avoided another belly of the whale experience. I think he learned his lesson the first time, right? Being stuck in the belly of the whale. And because Jonah obeyed the second time, he avoided another bad experience in his life. Number two, as a result of Jonah's obedience in Jonah chapter 3, the Ninevites were blessed. The entire nation repented before God, and God did not bring the destruction upon Nineveh that he had planned to bring upon it. So the entire nation was blessed. Jonah was blessed, and Nineveh was blessed. And friends, the application to us is this, that if we obey what God is telling us to do, if you obey what God is telling you to do personally in your life, you will be blessed in every single area of your life. You will be blessed financially in your finances, in your job situation. You will be blessed in your relationships. You will be blessed in your emotions. You may be in the pit of depression and sorrow and grief right now. But obey what God is telling you to do. If God is telling you to step out of yourself and reach out to somebody in greater need than yourself, then do it. And if you do it, you will step out of the pit of depression. Not only will you be blessed with God's joy, but other people will be blessed as you reach out to them. Is that making sense?
Amen.
You'll be blessed in every single area of your life. Health-wise, if you obey what God is telling you to do, maybe he's telling you to change your diet. Maybe he's trying to tell you to change your exercise patterns. Obey God, and you will be bountifully blessed and prosperous. Amen?
Amen.
So obedience brings blessings and prosperity. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, that was the message of last week. Now, this week we're going to talk about you're a winner and not a loser. You don't have to lose. You can win. Let's look at Jonah chapter 4. Jonah was a very interesting and unique personality. Let's find out how Jonah reacts to God's compassion in Jonah chapter 3. See, in Jonah chapter 3, God decided to save the nation of Nineveh. He decided not to bring the destruction upon Nineveh that he had planned to bring upon it. So God was demonstrating his mercy and compassion. Would you agree? And let's see how Jonah reacts to God's compassion in Jonah chapter 4. Verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" What was Jonah angry about? Jonah was angry about the fact that God had compassion on the entire nation of Nineveh. See, we would agree that Jonah was a man who did not walk in God's love. Would you agree? He was angry that God demonstrated his mercy on this sinful nation. So we would agree that Jonah was a man who did not love people. He was angry. And could it be that Jonah did not walk in God's love towards the Ninevites because maybe Jonah did not love himself? See, friends, it's really hard for us to love others. Now, listen to this. It's really hard for you and I to love others if we first don't love ourselves. Okay. It's hard to have God's compassion towards other people if we do not love and forgive our own selves. So could it be that Jonah did not love the Ninevites because he did not love himself? Maybe Jonah had low self-esteem, low self-confidence. Maybe he did not think much about himself. And in ministering in downtown, friends, I'd like to say this, that I find one of the reasons a lot of people are in the place they're in today, and maybe this is you, is because they don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel good about themselves. They've got low self-worth or low self-esteem. And maybe as a little child, think back to when you were a child. Maybe as a little child, you were verbally abused. Maybe it was a parent, a brother, a sister, a grandparent who told you that you were dumb. You would never amount to anything. Maybe they told you that you were an accident going someplace to happen. And you heard those words over and over and over to the point where it damaged your self-esteem. But whoever might have spoken those words over your life was being inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies, Jesus said in John 8:44. Remember that. That person was inspired by the enemy. Maybe in an adult relationship, you were talked down upon. Maybe you were demeaned. Maybe you were cussed at, said you were not worth anything. Maybe that person physically abused you in an adult relationship, and it really damaged your sense of self-confidence. It made you feel so low that you could do a push-up under a penny. And you don't feel like you can go anywhere today. You feel like you can't go above where you are at today. You feel like you are always losing because of something that was done to you or said to you in the past. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that you can win in life by Christ Jesus. You don't have to be on the losing end, friend. You can be on the winning end. Amen? Here's the good news. It doesn't matter what somebody said to you in the past. It doesn't matter if somebody demeaned you, spoke down on you, said you were dumb, said you were an idiot, said you were an accident going somewhere to happen. It doesn't matter what some human being said to you. What only matters is what God thinks and says about you. Amen? It's only what God thinks and says about you that really matters. You see, God thinks that you're a diamond. You are a diamond to God. Actually, you're worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined to God. You are, according to Psalm 17:8, you are the apple of God's eye. What does it mean that you are the apple of God's eye? It means that you are highly valuable. God is thinking about you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is that good news? Amen? I got this email here a while back, and it's called a $100 bill. $100 bill. Listen to this. A well-known speaker started off his seminar by holding up a $100 bill. In the room of 200, he asked, "Who would like this $100 bill?" hands started going up. He said, I'm going to give this $100 bill to one of you, but first let me do this. He proceeded to crumble the $100 note up. He then asked, who still wants it? Still, the hands were up in the air. Well, he replied, what if I do this? So he took a $100 bill, right? Crumbled it up. Dropped it on the ground and started to grind it on the floor with his shoe. He picked it up, now crumbled and dirty. Who still wants it? Still, the hands went into the air. My friends, you have all learned a very valuable lesson. No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it because it did not decrease in value. It was still worth $100. Doesn't matter what you do to it, it's still worth $100. Many times in our lives, we are dropped, crumbled, and ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that come our way. We feel as though we are worthless, but no matter what happened or what will happen, you will never lose your value. Let me say it again. We feel as though we are worthless, but no matter what has happened or what will happen, you will never lose your value, friend. Dirty or clean, crumbled or finely creased, you are still priceless to God and to those who love you. The worth of our lives comes not in what we do, what we have, or who we know, but by who we are. You are so special in all the world, there is only one you. Don't ever forget it. Let me say it again. There is only one you, and never forget it. Remember, you may be only one person in the world, but you may also be the world to one person. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't matter what you've been through in life, friend, how crumpled up you've been, the bad decisions you've made, the sins you've committed, the acts of disobedience, the negative things other people have done to you. It doesn't matter what has happened in your past. You are still a diamond to God. You have not lost your worth. You have not lost your value. Why are you the apple of God's eye? Why are you worth so much according to the Bible? Why are you so valuable? Why are you worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined? Anybody have any ideas?
Because he created us in his image.
That's good. Number one, Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27. Got a Bible you can turn there? If not, I'll read it to you. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So if Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and we are descendants of Adam and Eve, that makes us created in the image of God. Amen? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that part of God is on the inside of you and me. Let me say it again. Part of God is on the inside of you and me. You see, when somebody touches you with the love of God, the heart of God is touched. If somebody hurts you, they are hurting the heart of God. And the same goes for us. When you touch somebody else with the love of God, you're touching the heart of God. If you hurt somebody else, you are hurting the heart of God. Why? Because in a spiritual sense, we are all flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. In a figurative sense, not literally, but in a figurative sense, you and I are flesh of God's flesh and bone of his bone. How many here have a loved one that they really love, a child, a niece, a nephew, a parent, and that person's blood runs through you? Well, if that person is hurting and you can't help them and somebody else passes by them, it hurts you, right? But if that person that you love is helped, somebody reaches out to them and gives them some money for rent or reaches out to them and buys them food, it brings joy to your heart, right? Why? Because you love that person. That person's blood runs through you. It's the same way with God. When we reach out to somebody else When somebody reaches out to you, the heart of God is touched. But when somebody is hurt and deceived and lied to and talked down upon, guess what? It hurts God as well. Because everybody, in a spiritual way, is flesh of God's flesh. Now, let me ask you this. Who is of greatest worth in the entire universe? Which being is of greatest worth in the entire universe? Who is of greatest worth? God, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son. So if we're created in the image of God and God is of the great, is of greatest worth in the entire universe, what does that say about us? It says that we have a lot of worth, a lot of value in the eyes of God. Amen? Is that making sense? All right, another reason as to why you are the apple of God's eye. Another reason as to why you are the apple of God's eye. Anybody? Probably the most important reason as to why you're so valuable to God. All right. Anybody else? That's it. Okay. Because of the price that was paid for us. Because of the price that was paid for us. If you go out and you buy a kitchen table for $250, what is the value of that kitchen table? $150. And how is that value determined, that $250? How is it determined that that table is worth $250? Because of the dollar amount that was paid for it. Is that making sense? Now, if you go out and buy a used car for $2,000, what is that used car worth? $2,000. Why? Because that's the price that was paid for it. If somebody goes out and buys a house for $100,000, what is that house worth? The amount that was paid for it, right? The $100,000. Is that making sense? So any item, the value of any item is determined by the price that was paid for it. Is that making sense? Likewise, how is our value determined? How is your value determined? How is my value determined? By the price that was paid for us. What price was paid for us, friends? Turn to 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 19. This is what it says. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You see, friends, at one time we were part of the kingdom of darkness. We were imprisoned in the kingdom of darkness, but we were bought out of the kingdom of darkness by what? We were redeemed by what? By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. See, our worth, our value is determined by the price that was paid for us. And the price was the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is of priceless worth. Why is the blood of Jesus of priceless worth? Because you and I are of priceless worth. Your worth is priceless in the eyes of God because the blood of priceless worth was paid for you. Is that making sense? Say it with me today. My worth is priceless to God. Because the blood of priceless worth was paid for me. I am so valuable to God. And so, friend, when you wake up in the morning, speak these words over yourself. I am so valuable to God. Friends, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, when you recommitted your life to Christ, God saw you as a brand new slate. Remember, you're created in the image of God. The blood of priceless worth was paid for you and for me. That means that we are of priceless value. Is that making sense? Okay, here's the key. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. What does it say in Proverbs 23:7? Key scripture, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. As a woman thinks within herself, so is she. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. If you see yourself as always being a loser, as so low, never being able to go forward because of your past, guess what? You'll always be stuck in the same place. Don't let your past rule you. Don't let your past paralyze you. You know, concerning your job situation, for instance. Maybe in the past you applied for a job that was paying $8, $9 an hour. And you applied for the job and you interviewed, you tried to look your best, and you tried to present yourself in the best way to the potential employer, and you didn't get the job. You were rejected. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, don't allow past rejection to rule your life. Man, I'm not going to apply for a job again. I was rejected in the past. I can't do it. I can't work. I can't get a job. I'll always be in this place because people have rejected me in the past. Friends, do not let the past rule you. There is a special job out there that only you can fill. Let me say it again. There is a special slot, a special job out there that only you can fill. Maybe a relationship. Maybe there was a person of the opposite sex that you pursued, and you really liked this person. Maybe you were attracted to this person, and maybe after doing all that you could do to try to win this person rejected you, wanted nothing to do with you, cut off communications with you. And you're thinking, man, I'll never try again, man. I'll never have a relationship with the opposite sex because this person or those women in the past rejected me. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, don't let your past rule you. If you're always looking behind you in the past, guess what? You won't be able to go forward. Is that making sense? Like driving a car. If you're trying to drive a car forwards, but you're always looking backwards, guess what? You ain't going to go forwards. Would you agree? If you keep looking backwards towards your past, you're not going to be able to go ahead in life. You'll always be stuck in the same place. There is somebody out there, somebody special out there that is just for you. And you can find that person. Amen?
Amen.
God is good all the time, right? So start seeing yourself as God sees you. God doesn't see you as a rejected person. God doesn't see you as a person who is ruled and dominated by their past. God sees you as a person who has got a bright future and an expected end for them that has got a wonderful destiny in store for their life. Amen? That's the way God sees you, as a person with an awesome destiny. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me today. I'm going to start seeing myself as God sees me. A person with an awesome destiny. A person who is on this earth with a divine purpose. Not by accident. In Jesus' name. Amen. And remember this, the words that you speak over yourself, over and over and over, guess what? You'll start believing about yourself. Say it again. The words that you speak over yourself over and over again, you'll start believing about yourself. So the words you need to start speaking over yourself continually when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning are the words that God speaks over you. That you're valuable. That you're made in His image. That the blood of priceless worth was paid for you. Start seeing yourself. Start talking about yourself the way God sees you, the way God talks about you in His written word. Amen?
Amen?
And if you start speaking those words over your life on a consistent basis, guess what? You'll start rising. You'll start winning in life instead of losing. Amen? Let's top it off with Jeremiah 29:11. Famous scripture. Some of you may know it by heart. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that word applies to you and to me today, thousands of years later. If you start loving yourself, if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, if you start developing healthy self-esteem according to God's word, guess what? You'll be able to step out of yourself and lift the self-esteem of somebody else who is suffering today. not only will you be blessed, somebody else out there will be blessed. Amen?